B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Brock Lesnar is your new WWE champion, and Cain Velasquez has debuted in WWE. And Mike Riley, whether we the hardcore fans like it or not, the key for WWE and Fox is to get as many eyes on this product as possible. And TV rating draws such as Brock Lesnar, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Steve Austin, The Rock, and now Cain Velasquez are going to be the direction for Fox and WWE as this relationship goes forward for the next 5 years and $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just how it is right here. Is it was kind of a – Joe Murray hinted at it last week that Cain Velasquez here on the show that he could be debuting as early as this week, and sure as heck enough, here he is. Talk about Kofi Kingston getting buried right away, just with that F5 jumping right into it. But Cain Velasquez, this is all about who's who. This is Hollywood. This is no longer a wrestling promotion for fans. This is strictly television. You're not going to, you know, tune into SmackDown from what I saw tonight to watch a good, I mean, you know, sure, there were some good matches, but the focus is ratings. The focus is larger than life figures. The focus is grabbing people that would not ordinarily watch SmackDown. And that's a step in the right direction here for Fox as they got Cain Velasquez at the tail end of that main event.
Mike, tonight had a really big night feel to it, a big match feel from the pre-show at 7:30 until the end of the night. It had the show, I thought, start to finish, had importance and urgency. And there are some details that amplify this. Cole and Graves were, get this, talking about the performers in the ring and promoted things that were germane to those in the ring. There was no social media crap. There wasn't telling somebody else's story. Mm-hmm. It was the pace of the show, the focus on the in-ring competitors. It was aggressive, and I thought in a good way. And I know people, I already see it on social media, they're upset because this person got buried, and this person got buried, and this person was a lumberjack, and this person didn't get a ring introduction. It's a debut show on a new television network to the biggest audience that potentially could be watching wrestling since the Saturday Night main event days. They did what they could. The 8-man tag, you got to see people's signature spots in it, and hopefully that'll engage you to do some follow up on it. But from the pre-show to the end, there was an urgency, there was aggressiveness, and there was focus on, these are going to be our featured players going forward right now. This is what we think is going to make the most impact on our debut show. And that's what WWE and Fox did.
Yep. And you know, I'm glad you said that about the social media. You didn't see that as you usually have in the past. It was also a show where I took some notes on it, where, you know, Michael Cole and Corey Graves are kind of giving that new viewer a heads up as to who's who. I know that they kept saying consistently during the Charlotte Becky Lynch tag team match with Sasha Banks and Bayley, one of the quotes was, Charlotte calls herself the queen. They consistently said that over and over to properly identify who it is. And then during Bray Wyatt, when he came out, or even after the promo, Corey Graves made a comment, well, as you can see, Bray Wyatt has a split personality. Things that we know, but for people that don't know this stuff. And then, you know, Seth Rollins and Nakamura, the match there, you know, identifying a champion versus champion as to what they were. And they made it very clear, too, with the WWE Championship. The quote was, it's the most coveted championship in sports entertainment. I think they've done that before, but they're clearly going to do that here on out. So it was a proper identification one. When you have those guys there, the Hulkster, you know, Ric Flair, The Rock, obviously. Great pop for The Rock. Huge. And that LA crowd was really good. I think the match of the night, I think you would agree, Jimmy, would be the Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens match. That was fantastic.
Yeah, and the ladder match was awesome.
Unbelievable. It's great. So to put a match like that on your premier show for a new network, that sets the bar very high. And that's a big step in the right direction for SmackDown on Fox.
So again, I look at details of presentation here. Fox Sports Mike Flags, mm-hmm. NFL on Fox personalities. They started building from the minute they hit the air till the end. The championship match. It's Brock versus Kofi. During the pre-show, they showed highlights of Kofi's championship reign, who he's beaten along his championship path, really making the WWE Championship feel important. And probably the most important thing, it felt to me like this is as important as the WWE Championship has felt in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of progress through some of my show notes, Vince and Stephanie opened up the show. They sent it to an awesome new video, an awesome new song. One thing that you'll notice a lot of is sponsorships.
Yes.
And that's because they have Fox has to make their money back on the $1 billion investment. So you're going to see a lot of sponsorships. SmackDown presented by X. The championship fight presented by X.
Right.
That's how it's going to go. Becky Lynch opening the show was the right move. She is your most over current star right now, without question. The Cole and Graves, the two-man booth, excellent move. King Corbin, who resume-wise is your best villain, clear-cut mm-hmm. villain, he's in the ring. And then comes The Rock. The Rock, yep. as Becky's about to beat the crap out of Baron Corbin. Here comes The Rock, and that's what everybody says is the Attitude Era pop right there. That's the Road Warrior pop. The Rock is back on television. The Rock is back home, as he put it, for one night yep. only, but it's what it is, and you'll take it. A few production things that I noticed. The cameras seem very clear, so they're very new. They're yep. HD, they're probably 4K, they have all these fancy things. The crowd seemed more electric than usual, and I'm not yep. sure if that's the audio mixer being brand spanking new, if they have new mics, or if the building was sold out and that's how legitimately loud it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't yeah. shock me if they fiddled with 15 different mics all throughout the night to make sure that they got the reaction that they wanted.
Yeah.
Of course, Charlotte taps out Bayley, which might lead to a match at the pay-per-view. I'm sure it would. They have a pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah.
They told a story, and I think it was an important point that they put the women as the first match out there.
Yep.
That's making a statement that women's wrestling counts.
And the four most important women, too.
100%.
Yeah, and those are the, you know, the core of that whole division right there. And that's, you know, where they're aiming. And you know, SmackDown, eventually, maybe it will be an all-women show. It could be. Not saying it'll happen, but that very easily could happen down the line. You know, we'll see, I'd imagine, eventually with the return of Ronda Rousey and so forth. So it's really, that was a huge thing right there. First ever match, you're right. Four horsewomen in there. And the question is, I think there were some real indications as to who's going to be drafted to SmackDown and who's going to Raw. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about that on Sunday night after the Hell in the Cell. We'll have a better feel for that. But this was a lot of foreshadow there. I really thought, I know Erin Andrews did say when she interviewed Kofi Kingston, she made a comment, and I couldn't tell if she screwed it up or not, but she did say that you are challenging Brock Lesnar. I think she said this: you are challenging Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship, where at the time Kofi Kingston was a champion. So it was like a foreshadow, like, oh boy, maybe it will be Brock Lesnar holding the title at the end, which I think we all had our money on. But, you know, he was definitely the sex appeal symbol of the whole show there in that main event. And, you know, when you have someone like that with Aaron Andrews right there, number one sideline reporter in Fox NFL Sunday, and, you know, the national television ratings and so forth right there, that's a big thing right there. Maybe they throw her in more for cross promotion down the line here as the NFL season progresses. And Fox, as you know, is the home of Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, Aaron Andrews doing the Kofi Kingston thing. I didn't pick up on that. I was like, oh, that's cool. Aaron Andrews is interviewing New Day. That's cool. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's a good rub for everybody. I didn't pick up on that, her messing up a line potentially. She had note cards, so she shouldn't do it.
Right.
Read the note cards. You have them. It's okay. I wonder if, I don't know that that's necessarily Aaron Andrews' comfort zone right there.
Yeah, it's not her forte.
But that's okay. Yeah. So Aaron Andrews did the thing with New Day. The women's match to open was an excellent tag team match. They got all their signature things in there. They gave that story time. I mean, Becky Lynch really being featured in the first 30 minutes of the show is kind of a big deal. They did the champion versus champion match with Seth versus Nakamura, which was more or less just to get Bray Wyatt on the show and do that promo. It was a rushed match, but it was okay because that's probably that might be the third best Nakamura match you've ever seen in his WWE career.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt ran interference. Of course, Seth had to run up the ramp because he thought that was going to escape. He could have just, you know, run through the doorway to get out of the ringside. Oh, that's the spot. I'm not supposed to do that. Shane McMahon versus Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens won. Excellent match. We loved it. What happens to Shane? Who knows? But I know that the last time Shane lost a loser leave town match, he was back on the show the next night. So it didn't really matter.
Oh, yeah.
Because Shane was supposed to be fired if he lost to The Undertaker in Dallas in Hell in a Cell. Shane lost. He showed up on Raw the next night. No one cared. Throw the stipulation right out. But good for Kevin Owens. That's a big, exciting win for him.
Huge. Huge one.
And the fact that he fired Shane McMahon and then hit the stunner was kind of cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
They did a multi-person match, which Braun Strowman had the entrance. Braun Strowman kind of mocked the boxer guy, Tyson Fury.
Tyson Fury, yeah, with the hands.
So I don't know if that's going anywhere. I don't know if that's just a mainstream thing to get on SportsCenter, FS1, whatever. Fury jumped the barricade, which you can't do that. Sorry. Get him out of here. But if you're telling me that they're going to do a boxer versus a big man thing, that'll be good for mainstream, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
They did Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan in a lumberjack match. This was essentially to get everything set up for Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns against Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, which will be on the pay-per-view on Sunday, Hell in a Cell. And then Brock Lesnar wins the WWE Championship in 10 seconds, 3 seconds, 8 seconds, some short period of time. We kind of figured that Kofi was going to lose the title. I think that's fair to say. We kind of figured that was going to happen.
But holy cow, that?
Well, I mean, Brock isn't paid by the minute. He isn't paid by the star match.
I know, but geez, 10 seconds. And there was just so much time after that match where, you know, I was like, okay, maybe Austin will come out because we hadn't seen him. Or The Undertaker, potentially. Didn't happen, but Kane Velasquez comes out. So, yeah, just a quick match there all around. And holy cow, Kofi Kingston, for what he did there for the 6 months as champion, he did the best he could, carried it throughout the summer. He had a great match at WrestleMania with Daniel Bryan. You know, his legacy probably will go down as the WrestleMania 35 match. You know, he is not going to be one of the top 10 champions of all time, if that's it for him on the singles platform, if that's it.
So does Kane Velasquez do anything for you?
So not really, but I will say this, though. If it is going to be he and Brock Lesnar with the championship on the line. I'm definitely all in on it because I want to read up more on Cain Velasquez. I'm not a UFC guy. I don't follow it as much as a lot of other people, but it doesn't do much for me though. How about you?
It doesn't do it for me either. Yeah. This'll do things for mainstream people and maybe they'll get the UFC crossover.
Yep.
If you're asking me about Tampa, I still think WrestleMania in Tampa is Roman versus Brock for now the WWE Championship. If that's mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar versus Cain Velasquez, does that interest me more? No, it doesn't.
No. No, I hope not.
But I've been in this funk where what WrestleMania match interests me?
Right.
And I don't have one right now.
It's way too early.
Becky versus Ronda 1-on-1. I have some interest, but I'm not traveling to Tampa for that.
Well, I think that I we'll have a better feel after the draft next week. It's way too early to look at what could be and what should be the Mania matches because we don't know what the roster is going to be. We don't know what the storylines are going to be. We still have the Survivor Series. I don't know. They may throw a wrench in there or something like that with some sort of a stipulation. The Royal Rumble, the two Royal Rumble matches there. So I think after the draft, we'll have a better feel with the potential interest right now as to what WrestleMania could look like. But this is the start of the artist, I guess, getting the canvas ready before they put the ink on the paper there, the canvas, rather, to start painting it for WrestleMania 36.
Well, I think this is their big angle, Mike. I think that Cain Velasquez is their big pick, and that's the WrestleMania match because you've made this Fox deal and you've put this big match, this big hype, this big-time sporting event hype, and you close the show with Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez. I think that is your WrestleMania main event right now. I think that is WrestleMania in Tampa.
But can you do that for 6 months?
They did Rock Cena. They gave you a year notice on that.
Yeah, but those guys were full-time guys.
I don't think so.
They were around. They were around a little more. Brock Lesnar was, he disappears as a champion. Rock... Was Rock
working a full-time schedule?
No, but he was also, and I understand the whole Brock thing, too.
I mean, Cena was there every week, and you knew a year in advance that it was Rock versus Cena.
Right, but if they make that official next week, then that would be kind of cool. That would be cool, like, all right, you two are going to fight at WrestleMania, but it just then you just know that the title's not going to change hands. You just know it's not.
I mean, Mike, you and I knew in New Orleans that Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey were going to be in the main event of WrestleMania in New York.
A year after.
I shouldn't say we knew. We felt strongly that that was the match, right?
Very strong.
And
very strong
generally indication. Speaking, when there's a big-time WrestleMania match, we have an indication somehow of what that's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I want
to try to give it as much notice as possible because remember, the biggest drawing WCW match in history was Sting versus Hogan, and that was 18 months of build.
Right, right. Well, you know what? I want to hear Cain Velasquez on the microphone first before I can get all behind this and so forth. Brock Lesnar, his deal with that, but he's got Paul Heyman. So I want to hear Cain Velasquez do some mic work before I can make a judgment call if I'm going to be 100% behind this here. But right now, I'm really not.
And especially if this is Brock Lesnar's last match and Cain Velasquez has a number of matches left in him. This mm-hmm. is Brock Lesnar passing the quote-unquote UFC real fighter torch to Cain Velasquez in WWE.
Yeah, and this is probably his hand pick, like, okay, I'll do it for Cain. I'll drop it for him.
I mean, Brock will do anything if the money's right. We figured that out. He's in it just for the money.
Of course, but if he's going to do what's best for business, too, essentially for the WWE to put two and two together, then this is going to be the guy, and if he thinks that's the one, then I'm sure that's part of the equation, too.
I do wonder if we're going to see Brock Lesnar on a week-to-week basis, and maybe he's not fighting every week, but he signed a contract, and he gets like six figures just for walking in the door, and he gets, higher six figures for getting in the ring. I mean, Brock Lesnar, I think, made $200,000 for 9 seconds of work.
It's freaking insane.
It's unbelievable. Great. It's great, isn't it?
Unbelievable. And, I mean, Brock is probably going to be on the SmackDown shows west of the Mississippi and maybe New York, right?
You give him a pay, you give him a payday, and he'll be there for you.
No, I know. Unbelievable.
Mike, was there anything else from SmackDown that was on your radar?
I liked the set. I really did. I thought it was cool. I like how they revamped that. I do love, I know Raw this week too brought back the pyros. It's going to be interesting to see as to which show is more important for the two going here on out. I think the draft's going to say a lot on that spectrum, but definitely some indications as to who's going where. And if I were a betting man now, I could tell you, I could probably give you a clear indication of, Seth Rollins will be on Raw, definitely, and The Fiend will be there, Brock Lesnar on SmackDown, Becky and Charlotte to SmackDown, stuff like that. But we'll find out more after the Hell in the Cell on Sunday with the championship matches there, if they are to change hands, which I definitely see that in the forecast.
Mike, Raw is the fourth most important show in the current wrestling landscape.
Isn't that crazy to think
USA paid $1 billion for the fourth most important show?
It feels that way right now, doesn't it?
SmackDown is one. Mm-hmm. AEW / NXT is two on Wednesday nights. And Raw is fourth.
It feels that way. And will they change that? I don't know. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting how the tables have turned, Jimmy.
Friday Night SmackDown, the show to watch. And if they, this is something that they can't keep up for 52 weeks.
Yeah.
They can't do what they did Wednesday night for 52 weeks. They can't do what they did tonight on SmackDown for 52 weeks. They just can't do it.
Yeah.
Things have to slow down because you're going to burn out your audience. Your audience might be burned out already, but because of the hype of everything, because of the hype of Wednesday night, you had two live wrestling shows going head-to-head. You had a network TV special that was loaded, and it had a big fight feel. I bought into the hype.
Yeah.
And
well,
what a great and positive week for wrestling, really. There's awesome. A lot of great options for it, and it's a lot of this is going to be fun, but the pace, they just can't keep up. Or maybe I'm 38 and I can't keep up with it. Maybe it's a problem.
Yeah, well, there's too much out there, and like I didn't even watch NXT the other night. I had to watch it on tape delay. I watched AEW live though, but I watched NXT on tape delay so I could thoroughly enjoy that, and that's great. The return of Ciampa, the Riddle Adam Cole match was good. Shayna Baszler had a good match. AEW, I thought they put on a good product and so forth. But there's just too much out there. You can't really keep an eye all on it at once, as we've talked about here. But in terms of SmackDown, with the momentum on their side right now, and trying to keep pace on and ride that hot hand, they could not have picked a better time because, one, you are at the premiere of the television season here for the fall ratings and so forth. You're going into the holidays now, essentially, where on Friday nights you're going to have the programming. Then, Royal Rumble in January, that's a kickoff to WrestleMania. People will be more invested. And I think after Mania, it'll probably slow down just a bit, but this is going to be hot up until WrestleMania, SmackDown on Friday nights.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and in Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart. And we'll talk to you after Hell in a Cell, which has three matches on it. So it might be shorter than this podcast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.